The Human Podcast features weekly service audio from the Unitarian Universalist Metro Atlanta North Congregation of Roswell, Georgia. Please visit us at human.org.
What can people expect to see from you in the next 2 years that they may not have expected to see, or pleasant surprise, or frightens them, whatever?
So the treasurer role, I think, is one of the most demanding board roles. It requires a lot of time, attention to detail. And one of the things that I found that has been challenging is that each time there's a new treasurer, there seems to be changes, like the wheel gets recreated in some ways. So it's great for each treasurer to bring their own flavor to it. But what I'm trying to bring to the role is some consistency over the future years. So I noticed that each time a treasurer comes in, it's a bit of a strain on our bookkeeper, Susie, where she's having to go, okay, what is this treasurer going to be like? How do they want me to perform my role? What should I be doing? And there should be, Susie is our constant, right? And there should be some consistency for her, where she knows that here's our standards, here's our protocol. So while each treasurer might have a different personality, and they might have a couple of different goals going through their term, some of these things, these monthly things that consistently happen each month, are going to stay the same throughout. So I've been trying to pull in some other resources from our congregation, some people that are more accounting experts. I am not an accounting expert. I understand financial statements because I run a company, but I don't understand GAAP principles and things like that. So bringing in accounting professionals and bringing in our Breeze experts, so that we can do some things that will help us set up these protocols. So there are ways that we can start to adjust our books and our bookkeeping to make it more streamlined and more consistent throughout the years. And also, a big goal for this year is moving our giving from the Giblify platform to the Breeze platform. And once we do that, we're going to have everything connected. And so when people are feeling disconnected from how much have I paid for my pledge, like where am I, what's going on, they're going to have all this information available to them in Breeze. We can also connect Breeze to our accounting platform and have our financial statements and everything just intertwine, and again, have just one place for all the information to go. So hopefully this will make Susie's life easier going forward, and it will make the role easier for future treasurers. And then one more thing to try to support future treasurers is the attempt to build up the finance committee and having good support from that committee. The role is too big for it just to be one person managing everything. So if you have a really strong finance committee, you can help spread out some of the responsibilities and also have some support and guidance. Like most of us coming into this role are not experts. Like, we don't really know what we're doing. And it's good to have some other people who understand finance to bounce ideas off of.
You are a financial expert and not an economist. But this question really addresses the latter side of things. One of my favorite phrases is, at the end of the day, it's almost always about money, or if you prefer, resources. Do you tend to agree?
Unfortunately, I think oftentimes it is. Money is a bit of a necessary evil, right? So I think the majority of us as human or Unitarian Universalists don't want to revolve our life around the pursuit of money. We do need money to keep the lights on, have a building, like all the things, right? And so we find ourselves in these positions where we don't want to worship or make too much out of money, or even look at money as a value.
neat, cute story about you and how you came to be a part of this community. If you would like to put this in your own words, the floor is yours.
How I came to Human. So back in 2013, I met one of the Human members, Kelly Callen. Her son and my son were wee tykes in kindergarten and played basketball together. And they became friends, and we had daughters of the same age as well. So we had a lot in common, and we would mostly talk at the basketball games. And at the time, I was going through a big change in my life. My father had passed away about a year and a half prior to that. And my father, for me, was really my spiritual guide. He was my sounding board for things. And I had really been craving a new spiritual connection. And one of the things Kelly started talking to me about is a book club that she was part of, where they read really fascinating books and had really deep conversations about it. And I asked, can I join your book club? And lo and behold, it was a Human book club. And I met a bunch of people from Human there and started getting that depth of conversation I was really craving. And then I learned about Human Earth Ministries. And one of my big passions is the environment and trying to do things to raise awareness, or, you know, maybe help keep us to 1.5 degrees increase or less, whatever I can do in that part. So I started attending Earth Ministry meeting, and I did all of that before ever attending a service at Human. And then I came to service and felt the community there, and became enlightened with the talk, and just felt more spiritually connected. And so in 2014, I became a member of Human, and have gradually over time become more and more engaged in the community and the activities there. And it's like the saying goes, the more you give, the more you receive. And it's like the more that I give and engage at Human, the more fulfilled I become, the more I receive back from community.
What, if any, contact had you had with what we can either call churches or religious institutions prior to 2013?
Not a lot consistently growing up in childhood. Mostly, so my family is Southern Baptist. And I say my family, it's really my father's side of the family, with the exception of my father, was the Southern Baptist influence growing up. And so all of my cousins, my aunts and uncles, my grandmother, my grandfather, they all went to church every Sunday. My mom, while she subscribed to the beliefs, I don't think felt like she had time as a single mother to really take us to church every Sunday. So I was more limited to vacation Bible school and just the overall talking points that my family had. And I know when I was like preteen, I started having conversations with my grandmother, like, I don't understand, Grandma. Why, you know, why does it have to be that someone accepts Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and that's the only way you can go to heaven? Like, what about tribes in Africa that haven't ever been introduced to Jesus? And she would say, well, they'll have an opportunity. They'll get their chance to know Jesus and accept Jesus. And it just never sat right with me. My dad was more of a philosophical studier. He liked to read about Buddhism and just all kinds of philosophers in general. And so he did not believe the same thing the rest of his family believed. So we had a lot of really great, rich conversations just about how things work and why people are the way they are and how people think. And it was always about doing the right thing and looking at all the different perspectives. And his way of going about things fit how, like, it resonated with me a lot more than the Christianity side of things.
What's an Enneagram One?
Oh, I'm not an Enneagram expert, but I will do my best at explaining. So there are 9 Enneagram types. They are essentially personality types, but what they really represent is your motivation for doing things. And the motivation from an Enneagram One is to be seen as good and right and just. And so the Enneagram One is often referred to as the perfectionist. They are typically very self-critical, very hard on themselves. They have very high expectation for themselves. And they strongly believe in doing things the right way and often think that the right way is their way.
That can be a massive pain in the butt, is what you're telling me.
It is. I listened to a podcast the other day, and the lady said, like, my favorite, like, if I could be any Enneagram, I would be an Enneagram 9. And the Enneagram I would least like to be is the Enneagram 1.
Does the infamous skepticism about religious dogma among UUs carry over to skepticism about pledging a set amount of funds per year or contributing anything at all, for that matter, in your experience?
I've never thought of that. Nor have I ever had a conversation with anyone to ask that. My interpretation and my assumption has always been that I don't think that Humanites really believe in a certain, like in dedicating a certain amount of their income to the pledge. So I think other religions will stress this a lot more than we do. So while in our pledge statement or in our pledge packets, we'll have recommendations based on income amount. It's given to us very gently. It's very much a suggestion, you know? I think that most people, they don't feel the same obligation as other religions to give a set amount. And yes, they are probably a bit skeptical about how the money is used. And you can see it, I guess, evidence of this is when we do fundraisers for specific projects, whether it's raise the roof or, you know, whatever we're doing, people will show up and they will give their money because they're like, yes, I believe in that. And I want my money to go to that. Right. So it's kind of that unknown of, I'm just going to give you this amount and trust you to do the things with my money that I want you to do. And again, that's the reason why we want more visibility into what's happening with the money, so people will feel more comfortable about that. So one of my goal for last year was supposed to be to more thoroughly diversify our income resources or places that we're receiving income. And there's an offshoot of Earth Ministry called Keepers of the Earth. And we have been trying very hard to get ourselves together to put together a marketplace where we would be selling both handmade items from some of the members, as well as perhaps some other items that we've come across that are in an effort to, they're all environmentally friendly type products, like some of the things that I display for Plastic Free July. And also to do like a clothing swap and other things like this. Also to bring in people from the outside community for things like our movie nights and stuff like that, which would then hopefully increase membership. I think the problem with most of the things at Human is just our bandwidth, right? Like we have, there are a group of people that are like involved in a lot of things. And there are some people that aren't involved in anything, but for the most part, we're all very active engaged, busy people, right? So trying to find the time to focus. I don't know if we all need to come together and say, here's one project the entire congregation is going to focus on so that we can narrow our resources. I don't know what the answer is, but there's just, you know, not enough time and not enough people.
Of the half dozen, quote, passions, unquote, passions that you listed in your bio, none of them were this thing that I saw you do at our labyrinth that involved large sticks of fire and very difficult dance moves. Was this something you just happened to pick up over the weekend after you'd finished writing your bio?
Yeah, pretty much. Donna Melcher called me one day, and she started with just kind of checking in. And then she said, you know, in my travels, I acquired these palm torches, and I'm like, okay. And she says, you know what they are? And I'm like, no. And she goes, well, they're similar to poi. And I'm like, okay. She goes, you know, like, you see, for like Hawaiian dances or different things that people might be twirling fire. And I'm like, yeah, okay. And she's like, so anyways, I was enjoying these things for a while, but now I feel that they're calling to you, that they belong with you. And I'm like, okay. And she goes, but for them to come to you, there's an ask behind it. Would you be willing to perform a fire dance at this event? And I was like, let me think about it. And so she sent me a video of somebody doing this, and I went and I kept searching YouTube and watching different people do these dances with the palm torches. And so then I went back to Donna and I said, yeah, sure, I think I can do this. And so I taught myself on YouTube, and it was a lot of fun.
The Unitarian Universalist Metro Atlanta North Congregation of Roswell, Georgia, thanks you for listening to the Human Podcast. Background music, courtesy of Tim Moore from Pixabay.